Before Bill reads or speaks, I just want to take a second to thank him for his faithfulness every week, getting the scripture ready and reading and giving some background. When you do something on a regular basis and do it every week, and really, really appreciate it, do a very nice job with it.
So now I have to announce that on the first 2 days and Sunday, I will not be here. What a setup.
Everything I said, I take back.
So for those of you that would enjoy reading the scripture, please contact Leonard, and he will make sure that you have a copy of it beforehand so you can prepare. Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. Today's scripture is about a man, a rich man named Lazarus. Normally, Jesus isn't very kind to rich men. I direct you to Mark 10, 17 through 27, where a rich man came to Jesus and said, "I'm doing everything right. I'm following the law. How can I have eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Sell all your possessions and follow me." And the man went away sad. And Jesus said, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for someone who is rich to enter into the kingdom of God." But he did offer hope at the end. He said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." So contrast that story with Luke 19, 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man there by the name of Zacharias, he was a tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacharias, come down immediately. I must stay in your house today." So he came down and at once and was welcomed and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be a guest of a sinner." But Zacharias stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will repay them back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you. And if anyone does volunteer to read, you're not required to give any background. Bill does that because he enjoys doing it. You can just come and read the scripture. So we thank you for that. How many people in the last couple of months have climbed a tree? Two? No, ladder doesn't count. As a kid, I climbed trees all the time. One of my favorite things to do, and some of the trees, I forget what the kind they were, they had little balls on them. I would get in the top of the tree and pick those off and throw them down at my sister. I mean, that was just so much fun. But I stopped climbing trees now that I'm 40. I stopped about when I was 40, about 20-something years ago. But I always enjoyed it. And this story of Zacharias. Zacchaeus, thank you. There's a news story carried sometimes back about a man in Poland. He was up a tree. He was trying to avoid, of all things, paying a cab fare. The man jumped from the cab, and the driver jumped out wanting his money and chased the man and chased him up a tree. After climbing a tall tree, he jumped from branch to branch, and he had in his grocery bag a lot of bananas, and he was throwing the bananas down at the people and the cab driver who had gathered to watch this chaotic scene. More than a dozen firefighters were called in, and they put the necessary things down if the man fell to catch him. And after a two-hour standoff, he finally agreed to come down. His attempt to evade paying the cab fare is likely to cost him way more than what the actual cab fare would have been, because the fire department was going to bill him $4,300. It's not often that you see a grown man up in a tree, unless they're working on that tree. And the most famous example is found in a lesson today from Luke's Gospel. The story is set in Jericho. Jesus is passing through a city where he spots Zacchaeus peering at him from the branches of a sycamore fig tree. What makes this scene particularly fascinating is that Zacchaeus is the town's chief tax collector. This is the only time in Scripture the word chief tax collector is used anywhere. Zacchaeus was probably responsible to the Roman government who was overseeing Israel and Jericho and Jerusalem, because they had come in, attacked, and now they basically owned everything. They were the occupying government. So he oversaw all the tax collections in this area. This means that Zacchaeus was a very, very wealthy man. Jericho was an important customs station and agricultural center. The position of chief tax collector would provide exceptional opportunities for him to accumulate wealth. And Zacchaeus' wealth is important for two reasons. First of all, Zacchaeus had all the pleasures and comforts that money could buy. As someone has once said, I've been rich and I've been poor. Rich is better. Nevertheless, Zacchaeus' wealth did not satisfy his deepest needs. Despite his wealth and the pleasures and the comforts that he enjoyed from this wealth and his position in society, he was apparently empty and he was lonely within. Why else would he have climbed a tree to see this teacher, this preacher that he had heard about? Luke tells us that Zacchaeus was a short man. It was certainly a disadvantage for Zacchaeus in his attempt to see over the crowd. So he climbs the tree to get a good look at the master. Really wants to see what he looks like. He was determined to see the Lord, and nothing was going to stop him from doing so. More than likely, Zacchaeus was experiencing the beginning of faith beginning to stir in his heart. So we wanted to know more about this man who was causing such a stir in his society, in his town, in his village. What's going on? He had perhaps heard reports that Jesus was the Messiah. Maybe he had heard reports of Jesus healing people. And maybe he had heard that Matthew, another tax collector, was one of his disciples. And maybe that really rang a bell with him. Zacchaeus may have begun to believe these reports and hope that they were true. And his efforts to see Jesus and his resulting response to Jesus are evidence that there was some strong impulse driving him, pushing him towards spiritual growth, to meet the Lord. So as Jesus is proceeding through the city, he looks up and spots Zacchaeus in the tree. We shouldn't be surprised that Jesus noticed Zacchaeus. Jesus sees every person, no matter where she may be in their life, sees us at all times. But there is one person in particular whom Jesus sees. And that person is the person who is actively seeking Jesus, who is looking for Jesus, who seeks to be seen by Jesus. Jesus knows our need, and then he reaches out in his love to meet that need in our life, to call us into a relationship with him. Zacchaeus was desperate to see Jesus, so he struggled against the odds, and he found a place where his view would be unimpeded, so he could look at Jesus and maybe see him eye to eye. The place he chose to see him meant humiliating himself. You've got to understand, this was a high official in the town, and he is climbing up in a tree. Try to imagine one of our government officials or some rich person climbing up in a tree to get a better look as a grown man. But he was willing to do whatever it took to get a glimpse of the Savior. And because Zacchaeus sought so diligently to see Jesus, Jesus in return saw him. Jesus knew and called him by name, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." It's an old story, one that we've heard preached many, many times, even as children in our Sunday school stories. And this was bound to strike Zacchaeus quite dramatically when anyone, especially someone, a stranger, calls you by name. Have you ever been somewhere walking down the sidewalk and you hear, maybe out of town, and you hear someone call your name? You don't expect it, and you have a certain type of reaction. And I think that's the reaction that Zacchaeus had. Because Jesus knows our name, knows the number of hair upon our head, knows everything about each and every one of us. And he wants to address all of us. Jesus wanted to spend some time with Zacchaeus, but Zacchaeus had to act now, right now. Couldn't wait because things were beginning to come to a head for Jesus, and his time upon this earth was coming to a close. Luke tells us that Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed Jesus gladly. It's a beautiful picture of a person seeking faith and then that faith and that search being rewarded. But Jesus and Zacchaeus are not the only characters in our story. Also present were the other residents of Jericho, and they were unhappy. Luke tells us that all the people saw this and began to mutter among themselves, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." It's interesting that the story of Jesus' acts of grace are almost always accompanied by people bellyaching and complaining. The brilliant thinker C.S. Lewis once dealt with this tendency of people to have a tendency to be self-righteous. It's one of the books he wrote that religious people are most scandalized by sins of the flesh. He says, "These sins involve the body, such as adultery and assault and drunkenness and murder." He says, Jesus, however, was most scandalized by sins of the spirit. The sins of the flesh are bad, but they are the least bad of all sins, said Lewis. All the worst pleasures are purely spiritual. The pleasure of putting other people in the wrong, of bossing, of patronizing, the pleasure of power, of hatred. That is why, according to Lewis, a cold, self-righteous person who goes regularly to church may be nearer to hell than a prostitute that is seeking to find Christ. That states that, I think, very, very strongly, but it seems to accurately represent the attitude of Jesus towards people who are self-righteous and who spend their time with a judgmental attitude. This is not to say that Zacchaeus was without blame. He certainly had blame in his life. We all have blame in our life. As you notice, Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, and as you know, tax collectors were bitterly hated by the Jewish people because they served the Roman conquerors. And most tax collectors were Jews, but in the people's eyes, they had denied their Jewish heritage and betrayed their country. So they were completely cut off from Jewish society and excommunicated from Jewish religion and privileges. The tax collectors were usually cheats. They were dishonest, unjust men, and the Roman government compensated the tax collectors by allowing them to collect more than the percentage that was owed to the Roman government. And the tax collectors greedily abused the rights that they had, adding to whatever could be extorted from the people for their own personal gain. They took bribes from the wealthy who wished to avoid taxes altogether. They fleeced the average citizen. They even swindled the government when they could. And this is how most tax collectors became extremely wealthy. It was an affront to the law-abiding Jew that Jesus would be visiting the home of a tax collector, especially the chief tax collector. Eating supper with someone in biblical times meant that you were calling them your friends. Not a whole lot different than today. So when Jesus said that he wanted to stay with Zacchaeus and later ate with him, the religious people couldn't believe it. Doesn't Jesus know what this man did for a living? Could this really be the Messiah? If these self-righteous critics could only have known what was going to happen to Zacchaeus, how his life was about to change. When Jesus entered his home, Zacchaeus repented of his sins, was ready to change his life. His whole life, everything about it. And he said to Jesus, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will repay it four times over." Imagine that, four times what he had taken. Restitution became a way of life for this chief tax collector. Think of the people he had cheated. Imagine how long it would take him to pay them back. Think how it would draw down on his bank account. It's an amazing story of conversion. Some of you remember, and some of you have seen television shows of the story of Mickey Cohen, a Los Angeles gangster in the late 1940s, who supposedly became a Christian through the Billy Graham Ministries. And I think most of you have seen a Billy Graham a televised event, or you've been to one, and he gives an invitation and people go down front. And I've done it myself, and I've walked down with someone who needed to go down to give them the strength to walk down. Some people have a true conversion, some don't, and they're gone the next day, and it really meant nothing. Well, there's one problem with Cohen's conversion. Now, after the so-called conversion, he didn't change his behavior. He didn't change his mob connections. Edwin Orr, a revivalist and historian, was with Billy Graham when he made this alleged conversion. When confronted about his lack of apparent repentance, Cohen responded, "You didn't tell me I would have to give up my work," which meant the rackets. He said, "You didn't tell me I would have to give up my friends," which meant all his mobster associates. Says Edward Orr, Cohen had heard about the so-called Christian cowboy. He had heard about the Christian actress. He'd even heard about the Christian senator. And he thought he could be a Christian gangster. Things haven't changed a lot in 2,000 years, have they? To his credit, Zacchaeus knew better than that, and he was willing to do better than that. He really wanted to change and become a better person. He said, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. I'm ready to change my life. I want to do whatever it takes to find salvation, to find peace in my life, to find a better way." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That's why he came. What a beautiful statement of hope for those who are broken of heart and spirit and are troubled in their lives and don't know which way to turn and where to go. To establish a relationship with Jesus Christ. To look for him because he is looking for you. And he is ready to take you into his life when we take him into our lives. It makes no difference if you live in a mansion or if you live on the street. Doesn't make a difference the color of your skin. Doesn't matter if you're a saint or a sinner. If you'll just ask Jesus to come into your heart and take over, he does it. Comes in your heart, and then you become a Christian. You become a child of God. One of the King's kids. It's the most beautiful thing in all of creation. Such is the kind of complete change that happened in Zacchaeus' life. Paul Shearer, in describing the story, says that the meeting with Jesus, and I really like this, I hope I can remember this, said it redeemed Zacchaeus' past. Redeemed Zacchaeus' past. transformed his present and redirected his future. That's what it should be doing for all of us. Redeem the past. The past is gone. It's been clean. Your slate is wiped clean. Don't have to go back to the past and say, well, I did this. Nope, it's gone. You've been forgiven. Now let's move on into the present. What are you going to do with the present? You're forgiven right now. Start living as if you're a Christian, as if you belong to Jesus Christ. He's your brother. And let your future be redirected. We don't really know what happened to Zacchaeus after this. What did he really become? Legend says that he became the bishop of Caesarea. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I like to think that something really extraordinary happened to this man. But whatever became of him, we know that his life was transformed by this experience with the Master. Just as your life and mine can be transformed when we completely open our heart and let him in. So, I think the problem with so many of us is that we open up, but we only open up a part. So Jesus, you can come in, but you can come in over here, but the rest I'm keeping. Just to let you in just a little. And Jesus says, no, I need to come in all the way. This is all or nothing. All or nothing. Close doesn't count. It's in horseshoes. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. You find yourself feeling lost today. Find yourself feeling discouraged. You really don't know which way to turn. Turn, first of all, to Jesus. If you've never accepted him, accept him today. Just ask him to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins. If you've already done that, just stop for a moment. Say, Lord, I need to be refreshed. And then go to the Word of God, especially the New Testament or the Psalms and Proverbs, and then spend some time with God in prayer. Pray, and then just sit for a little while and meditate, and let God just wash over you through the power of the Holy Spirit. May God bless you. Amen.